This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome back. 307 DGS on KMOX. Jason Wood says hello from Grafton.
Hi, Jason.
Do you know each other?
I don't believe I know Jason.
I just figured you knew everyone from Grafton.
No.
I do feel a kinship, though, when I hear from people from South Roxana. Like, we get it. You know? Like, we immediately speak the same language.
Yeah. I feel the same way about the Keebler tree.
You know the worst part of streaming, which, by the way, thanks everyone who's streaming. We're getting really great numbers. It's my resting bitch face. It's that people have to look at it. And because I'm Mr. Potato Head, I have a face like a fist. And when I'm not laughing or smiling actively, I look like there's something, like I just got really bad news. We had a dog like that once that constantly looked like you just told him insurance wasn't covering his surgery. Like he just always looked like he had bad news. And when I look at myself in the camera, I'm like, oh, this is bad.
I don't think it's as bad as you think it is, Dave.
But you think it's bad.
Do you think there are people that don't have that?
Yeah.
Because I think most people I see have some look of just like, meh, when you're not thinking anything or doing anything. That's normal.
Yeah, some are worse than others, though. I have it pretty bad. I've had people be like, oh, man, I looked over at you in that meeting, and you were so mad. And I'm like, I wasn't. That's just my face. That's just what my face looks like.
So the whole show's like that.
Kind of.
I get that we thought you were sleeping.
People are asking about Andrew. Andrew is actually sick again. Haven't heard from him since mid-morning. He was talking about maybe going to the ER, but it seems like the same symptoms that
he had
last
sleeping.
Week. Yeah, I do too. I'll wait till tonight to text him, see how he's doing. You know, I want to talk about this just a minute. One of the great things about growing up in South Roxana, I've realized, is that I never judged people based on wealth because no one had it. Like, everyone's house was pretty much the same. Everyone's car was pretty much the same. Most everyone's mom stayed home. Most everyone's dad worked at the refinery. And so we judged each other on other things. Like, could you play baseball or were you funny? But, like, I just didn't grow up with that. My mom and dad weren't trying to keep up with anyone. They weren't trying to out-buy anyone or out, you know, impress anyone. And I'm really thankful for that. Like, for real. If I could go back and grow up in Ladue or Clayton, I wouldn't do it. I liked the way I grew up.
I feel that. I was raised in a similar way. It doesn't cross my mind to judge people for having less money or, you know, but then you meet people who it's like, oh, they definitely think they're better than you because yeah. And I'm just speaking as someone who's never been in that position before, letting you guys know it is an incredibly unattractive trait to be like, I'm better than you because I have more money than you. First of all, it doesn't make any sense. It's not logical. Like, it's the most shallow thing to base value on is the amount of money someone has. And the older I get, the more I realize, like, there are a lot of people that feel that way. And it's really, really sad.
And something I realized very quickly after having some success in radio is that the people who are judging you because they have more wealth. There are people above them who you're a peon to them.
Yeah.
You know, let's say you have $10 million. That's a ton of money. To a lot of people out there, $10 million, if they were down to $10 million, they'd be pooping water because they'd be so scared. It's just all so relative, you know? Someone who has a billion, your $10 million is like chump change.
Literally.
Yeah.
Yeah. But also, like, I think what Rach says is dead on right. It's a super unattractive thing. It's a super irritating thing if you act that way. I also think part of the problem, though, is that they get treated differently, so they start to believe it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Right? People kiss your ass because if you have money, well, people want some of that money, and they hope you'll hire them to do something. And, I mean, I see this a lot because people complain, like, why do these athletes have such big heads? Because, I mean, I've covered sports for 30 years. Well, you start treating somebody like they're special and different when they're 14 years old, they're going to think they're special and different, yeah. Man. That's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
KC says, keeping up with the Clockingays, who are my mom and dad's best friends growing up. And I've told this story before, but the only person I ever saw my dad get mad at for their quote-unquote wealth was his brother Jimmy, who was a couple years older than my dad. And this could be wrong, but it's just the way my mom and dad portrayed it, and I think it was pretty accurate. My mom and dad never bought anything they couldn't pay cash for, including cars. They never financed anything. They never bounced a check. Their power never got turned off. They were just straight arrows right down the line. And my Uncle Jimmy was crazy. And he lived on a lake, and he had a boat, and he had a Lincoln Continental, and he didn't make any more money than my dad. And we'd go visit them. And we'd get in the car, and it was just grumble, grumble, grumble. And you'd buy him for what he thinks he's worth and sell him. You know what I mean? That's the only thing I ever heard them ever be, like, jealous or scratchy eyeball about somebody.
I get it.
Yeah. You got a stairway?
Sure. I got it. I'm going to ask you guys a question, and I think this is important, and I think this is actually, if I were going to say that anything kind of defines why I can be the way that I am, it's because I do this. So I saw a study that shows that adults need to play more. You need to play games, board games, video games, go out and play outside, do things you did that you loved to do when you were a kid. And the one example in the story was young woman who loved roller skating and ice skating when she was a kid, got away from it, and then got back to it as an adult. And like, man, this is awesome. This kind of brings you back. So, A, do you guys do that?
Not enough.
Do you just decide, I'm going to play today? I'm going to do something. Like, for me, it can be video games. It can be going out and playing baseball. It can be going out and there's a lot of things. But I would say I play at something every day, every single day without fail.
Yeah, that's great. No, I probably haven't really played since the kids grew up. That's one of the great things about having kids.
No, that's true. Yeah, when you have kids, you get to do that.
Playing G.I. Joes or Barbies or, you know, just messing around outside, going for walks. But once you're an empty nester, it's like, well, want to go play Barbies? I mean,
but even if that did, why would that be terrible? If it not whether it's Barbies or G.I. Joes or you got your old Star Wars action figures, why is that a bad thing? Why do we have to treat being an adult like a punishment?
Yeah, just
because there are adults that'll look down on people that play. That's for kids. Like, no, it's for anybody that wants to be sane, or if you just want to, right? If you love comic books and you want to read them, read them.
So if you came to my house and I'm like, just come on in, and I'm like, I'm gonna kill you, and I'm playing with action figures, you wouldn't be like, I'm just gonna leave.
I think it's hilarious.
Would you join me?
Probably.
Wow.
Probably.
That's a buddy.
If it wasn't a boring game, you know.
Hey.
Like, if there was a way, you know, I mean, like, if there was something going on.
If it was sufficiently interesting to you?
Yeah, why not? I don't see why that's, I'm like, some people get that, by the way, maybe they go play golf. That can be that's their play. Mm-hmm. And by the way, that's, I think, why a lot of dudes golf. That's their play. That's their way to relax and get away from.
It's almost like your third space thing.
Right. It's kind of that same idea. And I also wanted to run by this because they described different types of play. I'm curious which ones you guys fall into.
Okay.
Because there's like eight different categories of way that people do it. So like if you're a person that likes to organize and take charge, they say that there's a kind of play called being a director. So would you be a director? Would you be, if you're somebody that likes competing, well, then you're a competitor. If you are, you know, there are people that are jokesters, like your play is being funny and playing with others and playing pranks on people. Not that I know anything about that. There's another one that are called, then there's the adventurers. Like you just want to get out in nature. You want to go out and do things like that. There are people that just love any kind of physical activity. Like that's their fun. That's their play. There's another kind that is collecting. Obviously, that's like, you know, people collect various things. And then there's the creator. Like you sit down and you paint or you play music or whatever.
Is they there, have a sitting on heated blankets watching Ancient Aliens.
Like if you're going to play, which one of those are you? And by the way, they say you're never just one.
Yeah.
You probably have little bits and pieces of each one of them.
Yeah.
But like which ones apply to you? And if you're going to say I'm going to make a plan to do this kind of stuff more, is there a kind of thing you would choose to focus your energy on?
Well, I think based on the list you just gave, I identify most with the adventurer. Like, I love being outside, even if I'm just going on a walk or something.
Yeah.
Like, even if I'm walking around the same area I've walked 100 times, it's just nice being outside. And then I also do identify with the creator thing. I love to draw and paint and sew and things like that and just make things. And I think you could even put, like, cooking in that category to an extent. I mean, because that can be fun as opposed to just a way of like sustaining yourself. But then you asked like what we would do more if we had the chance. If I could expand a little more, I would want to be one of those people who just want the physical activity to be like.
So maybe the tennis is that play for you.
Yeah. I just struggle with that because I'm. If I feel like out of shape, I'm like, I just want to stop playing. Like, and that's such like a toxic trait of mine. I'm like, this is dumb. I want to stop now. And I want to just push through that and be a little bit better about that. But unfortunately, that has just been my personality type up until this point.
I would say doing this show is a lot of play.
I would agree.
That's 100%. For sure.
Yeah.
So maybe that's why I don't do that much.
Well, and this would fall into that jokester kind of thing, right? But that's kind of what we all do.
What's kind of sad about me in particular is I have such a palate. I love to cook.
The music.
I play multiple instruments. I sing. I'm not nearly the artist my sister Deb is, but I paint. I can draw a little bit. I'm an athlete. I can do so many things, but I don't do them.
Well, that's why I have on the show sheet, I kind of want to start a new segment, if we could, called like Offline Adventures, where we just kind of recount the things we do that's not a screen. Because so much of the stuff that we do talk about it. It's like, I saw this online. I saw this TikTok. It's like, what about the other stuff we're doing to enrich our lives? Like, how can we kind of make that grow too?
Yeah.
Because I feel like we could all benefit from that.
You got people chiming in on the text line or on the text line, on the comments.
Yeah. Eric builds Legos.
That's cool,
yeah,
that's man. Cool. And again, nothing wrong with an adult playing with Legos. Why should you care?
Brian still has his Ewok village.
Dude, that was cool. We had that when I was a kid. It's a tree and like a little place where they can slide down and hide. Yeah,
Katie has started competing in roller skating because she loved skating so much as a child. That's awesome.
That's really cool.
Yeah. See, to me, like, and it can be as simple as, like, I love this because this is part of why I love having dogs around. I just get down on the floor and play with my dogs.
Yeah.
We just throw stuff and they'll bite me and we play. Like, I love that.
Maybe that's what I'll do. I'll play with your dogs.
Come on over.
Yeah.
Come on. R2 can be a little mean sometimes, though.
I'm upsetting Eric and Jason by taking my beanie off. I don't know what you guys are going to do when the summer comes. Cause
I was going to say, in the summertime.
It's not that people don't want to see you without the beanie. It's just, it is a little jarring when you're wearing the beanie all day and then suddenly the beanie is gone.
Yeah, try being me. I got to look at this thing every morning when I brush my teeth.
There's nothing wrong with it. There's an element of surprise going on.
want a few little fun facts?
Yeah.
Some more fun than others.
Yes.
We've talked about aphantasia, which is if I show you a picture of a red delicious apple with a fork sticking out of it, and then I take it away and I ask you to visualize it, most people can. But there are some people who just can't. They cannot conjure an image in their mind. And they recently did this fascinating study where they did this exercise with people in MRI machines. And the people who have aphantasia, where they can't visualize anything, a different part of their brain lit up. And the part that, like, everyone who can picture an apple, their brains lit up in the same spot, the same intensity. And then the people who couldn't, it just didn't light up at all. Isn't that, that just fascinates me.
Yeah, that's cool.
That so many of our behaviors and quirks can just be the physiology of the brain that you were born with.
Yep.
And how does that all shake out? If your mom has aphantasia and you don't, like, where did that deviate?
Yeah.
It's so, so fascinating.
Yeah. Also, this one was a rabbit hole. It will take 5 billion years for our sun to burn out and expand and swallow the Earth. We'll be fine. And 100 trillion years for the protons in the universe to break down to where there's basically nothing. No light, no matter, just as close to nothing as you can get. So 100 trillion years is literally unimaginable, but it's finite. Isn't that nuts?
How do they know that?
Yeah.
Math.
Prove it.
No, I'm sure they can. Right. I'm sure they can with an equation. I mean, look, seriously, they probably can.
My theory, I've said this many times, I just think there's a good chance when you get your PhD, once they give it to you, they go, okay, now you're in. We're going to tell you this is all crap. We made it all up.
All right, so how many of those, what did you say, 5 billion years
for
before
the sun?
Yeah. How many of those years actually have humans roaming the Earth?
If we made it another 1,000 years, I would be really surprised.
1,000?
Yeah.
Man, you're betting low.
Low?
Yeah.
I mean, if you looked around.
No, I know, but like a lot of species, barring cataclysms, last millions of years.
Yeah, but they're not stupid.
Right, you know, like
they're not actively pumping poison into the atmosphere.
Alligators aren't ruining the environment.
Right.
Yeah.
They're not creating weapons to blow up the Earth.
Right.
Fair enough.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Welcome back. 333 DGS. Happy Tuesday. We're just saying that it, according to scientists, will take about 100 trillion years for everything to just turn into nothing. JR says, I'm about to blow your mind. The national debt in dollars is about a third of the time it'll take for the universe to die. That does blow my mind. That's crazy. We're in the trillions. Dave Murray joins us. Hello, Dave.
Hello there. You can get a debt clock on an app, I think, and you can see what the national debt is, and you can see it ticking away, tick, 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 like every second.
That sounds awful.
It does. And there's like 100 other things you can keep track of.
Crazy.
I got a clock.
Have enough trouble with just
that's enough, man.
Clock.
That's enough.
So today's gorgeous, and I understand tomorrow maybe a little sprinkles.
Yeah, but that's really about it. It's a moisture-starved cool front is coming in, probably past mid to late day, wind swing to the northwest, kind of a changeable sky, mixed clouds and sunshine. That may be overly optimistic, but I'm going to stay with that. 63 for the high, a little drop in temperature, mid to late afternoon with the front as it comes by. A couple of sprinkles, couple of little light rain showers. It's not going to be much. We're a little bit cooler on Wednesday night, 38 for the low. Thursday, sunny, 55. So versus, 60 to 65, 55, about 10 degrees cooler. Can still deal with that. Friday, sunny and 66. Over the weekend, all is dry. Sunny skies. It's a little cooler over the weekend. I'm thinking mid-50s on Saturday and upper 40s on Sunday. Still no big Arctic cold in sight. And that should take us through the first week of March. Spring forecast coming up Thursday, right at this time.
Woo-hoo. Sweet. Woo-hoo. Very nice.
Exciting stuff.
Spring. Today's just gorgeous.
It's a really nice day.
Yep. Everything's relative, too. We've had such cold weather, especially in January, February has not been a cakewalk by any means. But when you get a couple of days like this, it's like,
I know I'm wonderful. A freak, but it wouldn't have to be much warmer than this ever for me.
Mm. Yeah, I agree. It's one of the reasons I live where I do.
Yeah.
it's a nice... this morning it was chilly along the coast, which we're not right along the coast. But, today is like 68, 70 degrees. Bright sunshine.
Beautiful.
Beautiful.
Headlines, Rach?
Brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. Dave, this might be very exciting to you. Bigfoot could get an official role in California. Ooh. Have you heard of this?
I have heard of this.
So they are talking about adding him as the official state cryptid. A cryptid, of course, is a term for creatures that people claim to have seen, but whose existence has never been proven.
Now, one of the theories among the Bigfoot community is that the government is hiding this because if we really did find one of these things, we would have to carve out so much land and they would be a protected species.
Hmm. Wow.
So
we're afraid of finding them, basically.
Yeah, I've heard all of these theories debunked, but the logging industry is huge in the Pacific Northwest, and that's kind of, a lot of loggers see these things or claim to see these things, and that if they actually caught one and we all knew it, that would really bring a lot of that to a halt. So,
very interesting.
Wow. Yeah.
The better plan is to just let them all die.
Well, I mean,
because we're gonna just tear up their environment.
Take it with a grain of salt, but the 3,000 encounters I've heard, I've probably heard 100 of military people who were definitely military people. Like maybe they were lying about this, but you could tell that they were legit and who have seen these things. Mm-hmm. One guy was a sniper, and he was called in to an area in Georgia that I was able to look up and see it. Around this lake called Lake D, and they said there's some monkey or S out there, and he saw this Bigfoot and shot it and killed it, and then the Hummers came and then loaded it up and took it away. And I've heard a lot of stories like this. So again, believe what you want, but according to a lot of people, the government definitely knows about these creatures. So
that'd be a pretty jerk move.
Yeah.
If we do know and we're like, nobody needs to know that, we'll just keep tearing down there where they live.
Certainly the government would never.
No, the government would never do that. You're right.
Why shoot him? Why shoot him? He's not doing anything to anybody, is he?
Right.
Yeah, I guess it's just the existence. Just can't let that out.
Weird.
Trust in doctors is plummeting. This is very sad. Americans' trust in doctors continues to decline with just over half, 53%, now rating medical doctors as honest and ethical. That is down from 67% who rated doctors as trustworthy in 2021.
Again, watching the show The Pit, which is, according to doctors, the most accurate medical show that they've ever had. And it's not just, oh, that's what it looks like if you cut the tip of your finger off. But a lot of it is political. A lot of it is the main character, Noah Wiley, fighting with the administrator about how it's understaffed. And that's why people wait 8 to 12 hours. And so, you know, if you go to the ER and you're sick as a dog and you don't get seen for 6 or 7 hours and it's the worst day of your life, you're not going to give a very good rating to that hospital or that doctor.
Right. Yeah. I get to go to the urologist tomorrow.
Hey.
Oh, fun. Hey.
Nice.
Do you trust him or her?
Yeah, actually, this is a new guy. My old guy.
So you don't know yet?
Left. I don't know yet. But he's supposed to be really good. And we're going to get to know each other quite nicely.
I would like to meet the people that are like, nope, I don't trust doctors. So if you were right now like having a heart attack, would you trust one to help you? Or would you tell them to leave?
No.
Like, what's that? This is what I'm saying. Like, they say that, and then the minute they need one, they'll be like, oh, help me.
Yeah. Dave, the last time I was at a urologist, I can't remember what it was even for, but he was seated, and I was standing, and we were kind of face-to-face, if you know what I mean. And and I'm trying to make small talk, as you do when you're just out there. And I said, so, vasectomy. How bad's that? Now, I wasn't planning on one, but it just like seemed like something you say to a urologist. He reaches up and pinches me where you do the vasectomy pretty hard and goes, that's about like that. That seemed weird to me, and it hurt.
A little bit.
Yeah.
That's
But he's doing other stuff.
I was going to say, you're out of the circle of trust there, buddy.
Right?
You got to warn me.
You got to warn a guy.
Take me to dinner.
At least.
Speaking of dinner, or rather breakfast, Denny is the latest restaurant to add an egg surcharge due to rising egg prices.
Coming after my moons over my hammy.
Mm.
It's a temporary fee. They say it will vary by region. You know, Waffle House was doing a flat dollar everywhere you go, or 50 cents rather, everywhere you go. So that varies with Denny's, but just be aware. IHOP, however, has not adjusted menu prices despite the egg shortage.
Hmm. Hello.
That's like the old singular.
I think that's my...
It's my urologist calling.
Yeah, he heard you.
Dave,
he's like,
sorry,
hey.
About that. Okay, so we were talking earlier about those emails that were sent out from Doge saying, hey, send me a bullet points of 5 things you got done last week. Apparently, Doge is going to use AI to assess the responses of those federal workers who are told to justify their jobs via email. No way that goes bad, right?
Did you hear the latest? If you do, I think it's dumb. Some people think it's genius. The president thinks it's genius. But if you do something dumb, just let it go. Don't double down. But now they're saying that, okay, you don't have to answer today, but we're going to do it again. And that time, if you don't answer, you're going to be fired. Like, there's just something about doubling down on something like that. It just, to me, like, you lose credibility. Just stick with it. Just either let it go or fire everyone who didn't answer the 5 questions.
Have they even explained why?
The president did. He said, we don't even know that these people exist. So if they don't answer, maybe they don't even exist. And if they do answer, then maybe what they're doing on a weekly basis is not useful, which I understand that.
That makes no sense to judge that based on an email reply. What if you had a quiet week this week and 2 weeks before you had a million things going on?
But even if you had a quiet week, you can't name 5 things you did at work to get paid a 40-hour week salary. Like, that's where I'm like, can't answer that email, there is something wrong.
That is such a rich guy BS thing to do. To take the normies and be like, are you even doing anything?
I think it's a
kiss
fair question to ask.
Kiss my ass on those, man. These people, I hate these people. I hate Elon Musk. I hate him so much.
Yeah, but
does your employer have the right to pull you into the office and say, Wheels?
Yeah, there are performance reviews and you discuss them with someone.
Right.
And someone who actually supervises you talks to you about the job that you're doing. And I mentioned that story yesterday with the Marine who works at a VA hospital. He's a retired Marine, and he's working at a VA hospital with injured soldiers, people who have been injured. He gets fired without ever even having a conversation with anybody around him. None of his bosses knew it. None of the people that were in the administration of the hospital knew it. So, yeah, I mean, like, performance reviews are fine. some random email from a random guy who doesn't have any idea what you're doing or how your job works makes no sense. If I went to Elon and said, give me five things that you did last week, I wouldn't know what mattered and what didn't. I would have no idea.
But don't you think that's just the principle of the thing? Because, I mean, I'm the one who brought up the story that says they're using AI to assess these answers, and I think that's ridiculous.
Is he going to use Grok?
That's going to go really bad. I think it's a stupid idea. But the email itself saying, hey, tell me five things you did last week, I think if you have a problem with that and you're like scrambling to come up with five things, then that's like a you problem. I think anyone in their position should be able to defend what it is they do every day.
I would be shocked if anyone couldn't answer that. I mean, and I, by the way, why are all these people that are appointed by this administration telling their people not to do it? Cash Patel is telling his people don't answer it. I mean, there are people in this administration telling their underlings, the DOJ is telling people don't answer this. I don't understand what we're doing. Like, if there's a sensible way where you're like, we need to find out if everybody we have on the payroll is doing something important. Well, you start with people that are hands on. All right, what does the supervisor see? And then what does that supervisor's boss see? And you work your way down. You don't just go, send me proof of life via email. I could make up five things. How do you know I'm telling you the truth? Yeah. You're literally thousands of miles away from me. You have no idea what I'm doing. I could make five things up and you wouldn't know if I'm telling you the truth or not.
That's what I'd do.
All right, Michael Jordan wrote a love letter to his high school sweetheart. Now it's up for auction. I hate stuff like this. I think it's such a betrayal of like, even, yeah, it's your high school boyfriend, whatever. It's so awful to be like, I'm going to share his innermost thoughts with the world and auction off this love letter. Because a lot of times they're a little embarrassing. But in the letter, Jordan expresses his deep affection for his girlfriend, LaQuetta, while also acknowledging his love for basketball. The starting bid for this letter is $10,000.
Speaking of Michael Jordan, I woke up this morning to a video from John Hancock, who his partner Michael Kelly bet him $20 he couldn't touch the net.
Yep.
So he went to a basketball court.
Yep.
Filmed himself.
Yep.
Doing it.
Yep.
Says he did it.
Yep.
I believe him.
I believe him, too. Yeah.
But the video doesn't show it.
Oh.
It's the funniest thing ever. You can't see whether he touched the net or not in the video. And then the video pans up at the end to the net. And that net's not moving.
Maybe you just tapped it real
light. It's not moving. I'm not saying he's lying. I'm saying I want more proof.
Right. Let's get the whole thing.
The proof department wasn't strong.
I mean, I'm like you. I believe John Hancock. He's an honest man. I don't think he's going to pull off a scam for this. But it's like, it's just the funniest thing. The video comes in and you're like, the video doesn't show it. But the video doesn't show it.
It's funny because he's filming himself and not well.
No, not well.
And then he walks up to the net and you hear him go, did it.
But the video is just good enough for me.
And the video is just like jumping around. You can't see the net or anything. It was great.
It was fun.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it.
All right.
3:53. We have the Think Tank coming up at the top of the hour. This doesn't happen often, but Wheels just brought up a topic on the break that is literally my next topic to talk about. And I just wrote down underqualified opinions. And to me, 99% of the opinions we give, especially online, are unqualified or underqualified. Let me give an example. The thing I know most about in my life is doing a radio show. So if I were to give an opinion on someone else's radio show, Mark Reardon, I'm about as qualified to do that as I am to do anything. Yet I'm woefully underqualified. I don't know Mark's show. I don't know what his goal is. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like, I am very underqualified to really give an opinion on that would carry any sort of weight. So me giving opinions on the economy, medical care, it's just silliness. Sports. And when you really swallow that people giving opinions on you, like, they really don't know. Like, they don't know. Would you agree?
To a degree, I think there are levels. I mean, like, that is a basic truth. We all have opinions about things that we can't be experts in, right? But if somebody who's an expert comes to you and says, nah, Dave, that's not right, this is right, what's your reaction?
I'll usually take their advice.
This is right, exactly. Same for me. If I have a baseball opinion, this has happened. If I have a baseball opinion and somebody who is a current player, a former player, a manager comes to me and says, "You got that wrong," I'm going to believe them. The people I worry about are the ones that will never be convinced of anything. Like, you can't, no matter what someone's expertise is or background, you just can't convince them that opinion's wrong.